Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. I want to start this morning by asking you a question and maybe making a confession. I haven't decided about the confession part yet. Yeah. Have you ever been discouraged? Chances are pretty good somebody's here this morning who's discouraged right now. I will confess to you that for the last, the last couple of months, I've been battling discouragement. You probably didn't know that. Shara might know that. I let her see it sometimes at home. Well, that's enough of that. Maybe later. Today I want to look at the story of Noah and the Ark. You know, it's a cute little story. We teach our children about it, and we draw little pictures with all the little animals, and we sing cute little songs about it. And you know what? I think Noah got discouraged. I'd never really thought about that too much. It's amazing to me that you can live 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years in the church and hearing the stories and reading the Bible and find something new. But it's true. And I'd never really thought about Noah being discouraged. But I think he was. You know the story. God created the world, the earth, all the things that are on the earth, all the animals. He created man. And mankind sinned against God, rebelled against God. And from that moment until the time we get to Noah and the ark, man had just grown worse and worse, more evil, more wicked as every day went on. Until finally God had had enough. The Bible says God said, that's it. I'm done. I'm going to destroy the earth and I'm going to destroy all mankind. Let's read on in Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to read a couple of different passages. We'll start in verse 5. The Bible says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made him. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." I want us to read that last verse again, and I want to say something about that. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Not his wife, not his sons, not his sons' wives. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Skip over to verse 13. The Bible says, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." God gave Noah a big job. The ark was... The ark was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Three stories of 15 feet each. It had 1.4 million cubic feet of space. That's the equivalent of 522 railroad boxcars. The same space. It was massive. Noah had to gather all that material by hand. And then he had to construct that ark by hand. He had no power tools to help him, and probably very little human help. He had to do that all on his own. I'm sure he got tired. I'm sure he got frustrated. I'm sure he had blisters on his hands. I'm sure he got discouraged. I'd never thought too much about that before, but I'm sure he got discouraged. Now, God gave him plenty of time to build it. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So he had 120 years to build the ark. From the time that God told Noah to build the ark to the time that the flood started and the rains began, 120 years. 120 years to do it, but I know he got discouraged. He was about 480 years old, give or take, when God told him to build the ark. How about that? But he didn't just, in that 120-year period, he didn't just build the ark. He also warned people about what was coming. He preached the message of God. We would say the message of salvation. He said, listen, God's upset with the world. He's angry with mankind, and he's going to destroy the earth. He's going to destroy mankind. It's going to rain. It had never rained before. When Noah said rain, they didn't even know what rain was. I'm sure people mocked him. I'm sure people made fun of him. But now I want you to think about this for just a minute. I'd never realized this before. For 120 years, Noah preached the message of God, and not one single person believed him. I want to tell you, as a pastor, that's discouraging. I do, and I think the church does, I think the people of the church, we do all that we can to make worship a comfortable experience, a joyful experience, a blessed experience. I work on these messages. You might not be able to tell it, but I work on these messages, and I pray. And I'm so glad you're here today, and I promised myself when I became the pastor that I would never talk about the people who weren't here, because I'm so grateful for the people who are here. But listen, I want to tell you, sometimes the people who aren't here, it's discouraging. We think that what we do doesn't affect other people. Sometimes even we're at home on Saturday night. Well, I don't think I'm going to go in the morning. You know, my back hurts or my toe hurts or, you know, it's cold or it's rainy or it's going to be beautiful tomorrow and I want to do some things outside. It won't hurt me to miss just one service. It won't matter. I want you to know it matters.
That's right.
It matters to you spiritually. It matters to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Fellowship-wise, it matters to God in His worship, and it matters to the pastor.
Yes.
Several Sundays, I'm not scolding you. I'm really not scolding you, but I'm trying to make my confession, okay? Several Sundays ago, we had more people. I have a list of people who attend our church. I call it the worship roster. We had more people gone than we had here. I want you to know that's discouraging to the pastor. 120 years and not one single convert. Do you remember verse 8? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Not even his wife, not even his sons and daughters-in-law. I think Noah was discouraged. I think Noah was discouraged. Then came the flood. Genesis 7, verses 11 and 12 says, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Water began to come up from under the surface of the earth, and water began to fall from above the earth from the sky. And for 40 days and 40 nights it rained." Unrelenting rain. We've had unrelenting wind for about 4 or 5 days. Multiply that by 10 times and see if you wouldn't be discouraged. I'm discouraged with the wind. 40 days and 40 nights of unrelenting rain. After 120 years of hard physical labor and fruitless ministry, I think Noah was discouraged. He got on that ark, and for 40 days he couldn't even open the window because it was raining. And when he finally opened the window, he looked out, and all he could see, for as far as his eye would take him, water. Sky and water. No dry land, no wet land, no land at all. No mountain peaks, water. Every day. Oh, I can sympathize with Noah. Every day he'd get up and he'd go and he'd open that window and he'd look out and all he could see was water. You know what? The first 3 days it might have been kind of pretty. Watching the sun come up over the water, watching the sun set over the water, kind of beautiful. Kind of still, kind of quiet, kind of serene. After about a week, it was beginning to get a little old. After about a month, it was really old. And after 6 or 7 months, I'm sure he got discouraged. Oh, what I'd give to see a branch of a tree. Oh, what I'd give to see the rock of a mountain peak. Genesis chapter 7, verses 19 and 20 says, "And the water prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered." Now, did you catch that? All the high hills under the whole heaven, the entire earth, were covered with water. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Mount Ararat was the highest mountain in that area of the world at that time, and it's where the ark finally landed. It was 17,000 feet high, the highest peak. 17,000 feet. That peak and every other peak of every other mountain was covered by 22.5 feet of water. Water. Everywhere, all the time, every day, water. What do you see, honey? Water. What do you see, Dad? Water. I believe I'll get up in the morning and look out the water or look out the window and see what I can see. Well, it's water. Oh, I think Noah was discouraged. I mean, you know, just, you've been through this, right? You know, something happens in your life and something goes wrong and you're just about maybe to get over that and something else happens and something goes wrong and you just, and something else happens, just piles up and piles up and piles up. It had been piling up with Noah for 120 years. So I got to thinking, well, I wonder how long he was on that ark. Near as I can tell, he was on that ark for 1 year and 10 days. 1 year and 10 days. 375 days. He was on the ark. With all those animals. Don't you know they stank? Three hundred seventy-five days on that ark. I know it was a big place, but with his family. Don't you love your family? Aren't you glad when your family comes to visit? And aren't you kind of glad when they leave? They must have been some fussing and fighting. Noah found grace. Listen, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, not his wife or his sons or his daughters-in-law. They didn't have a Bible study every day. It wasn't a blessed meeting every day. Sometimes they were griping and complaining. I don't know why. You remember what Job's wife did? Why don't you curse God and die? I imagine Noah's wife saying, "Honey, I don't know why you're serving this God. Look what he's done to us. I would have rather died than to get on this ark." Don't you know they said that? Haven't we said that before? When we're going through the mess, whatever it is, physical pain, emotional pain, financial pain, stress. Oh, I'd just rather die. I think Noah got discouraged. I think Noah stayed discouraged. Discouragement is a tool of the devil, and it is a good one. We've all been discouraged at some time or another. If you haven't, hang on, it's headed your way. What do you do when you get discouraged? I've asked myself that question over and over and over. What do you do, bud? I think I found the answer. We do what Noah did. First of all, man, you might want to write this stuff down. This is good stuff. Not because I thought of it, because it's in the Bible. Number one, stay on the ark. Now that seems like it shouldn't have to be said, right? Stay on. How foolish would it have been for Noah to jump overboard? There's nothing but water. There's no food, there's no shelter, there's no rest in the water. There's the dangers that lie under the surface of the water. There were still animals in the water swimming around. If he jumped out, if he jumped overboard, if he got off of the ark, he's going to have to tread water for a long time before he can find any dry land. And when he finds the dry land, he's going to have to wait a long time before he can find any food. It would have been suicide. His only hope for survival was to stay on the ark. When we get discouraged, we need to stay on the ark, and the ark is Jesus Christ. And oh, how many times the first thing we do is jump overboard. I said discouragement is the tool of the devil. Listen to James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Here's what we do too often when we get discouraged. We do just the opposite. We don't resist the devil. We have ourselves a good old pity party. I did. I'm going to confess. I'm confessing this morning. Maybe I'm the only one that needs to hear this message. If so, you please tolerate me for another about 10 minutes or so. We have a good old pity party. Elijah did. Well, I'm the only one serving the Lord. God said, man, there's 700 you don't know about. You know what we get to thinking? We get to having a pity party for ourselves, and we get to think about how bad we've got it. And we get to think about other people. Maybe Christians, maybe especially Christians, and what they did to us or what they didn't do for us. Why should I be the one that has to suffer for what my old brother in Christ didn't do? Or why should I have to be the one who suffers for what my old sister in Christ did do? Why don't you get them, God? Why me? Right? Come on now. That's not resisting. That's playing into the devil's hands. And instead of drawing nigh to God, we either say or we think, well, God, why did you let this happen to me? Or God, why won't you do something about this? Don't you think during those 120 years, don't you think Noah sometime or another said, God, why don't you do something? Listen, if you're going to make it rain, make it rain. I'm tired of building. I'm tired of being laughed at. I'm tired of preaching the message and having nobody respond. I'm tired of my wife and my sons not believing me. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. Do something. That's not drawing nigh to God. That's questioning God. That's challenging God. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. And when we get discouraged, we do just the opposite. We resist God and draw nigh to Satan. And boy, don't you know he loves it. In that moment when we should trust God the most, we resist him. In that moment when we should get right to the center of the ark and batten down the hatches, we go to the edge and we jump overboard. When you get discouraged, when I get discouraged, stay on the ark. Amen. It slays me that discouraged people, the first thing they do is blame God and turn away. Number two, I had to have an S. Steadfastly feed the animals. Listen. Oh, Noah had a job to do on that while he was in the ark. He just didn't go up to the deck and play shuffleboard and get a suntan. He had animals to feed. Every single day, those animals had to be fed and watered. Don't you know he got tired of that? I'd get tired of that. I'd make my sons and my daughters-in-laws, my wife, do it. And you know what else he had to do? He had to clean out the stalls. 375 days. I guess they threw it overboard. I don't know what they did with it. Don't you think that got discouraging? Don't you think he was tempted to quit? Lord, if I feed him, you know what's going to happen. And I don't want to mess with that. No, you got to feed him. Okay, God. He remained faithful. 375 days. I don't think he was always happy about it. Maybe he was never happy about it. I think he got discouraged. Maybe he was discouraged for 375 days. I don't know, but he steadfastly fed the animals. Now listen, Christian, we got to remain faithful. I know. I know when you get discouraged, it's so easy. I'm not going to read the Bible quite as long today. Maybe I'm not going to read it today. And one day turns into two or three, and the first thing you know, we're not faithful to read the Bible. Well, I'm just so discouraged, I can't even talk to God. Today, I'm going to show Him how discouraged I am. Aren't we childish? I'll show God how discouraged I am. I just won't talk to Him. And one day turns into two and three and four, and the first thing you know, we have no communication with God. Well, I tell you what, I'm so discouraged, I'm going to show that pastor, and I'm going to show that church, and I'm going to show God, and I'm just going to stay home. Do you know what that's like? Do you know what, when we get discouraged and we quit reading our Bible or we quit praying and we quit coming to church, you know what that's like? That's like a starving man turning away from the food. Why do we do that? Listen, I'm just like everybody else. I'm just as guilty as everybody else. When we get discouraged, we need to keep doing what it is that God wants us to do. If whatever job He has for us, we need to keep doing it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to grin and shout for joy when you do it. But brother, do it. Keep reading your Bible. You don't have to enjoy it, but keep reading it. Pretty soon, you know what's going to happen? You're going to start enjoying it. I was reading some book. Maybe more than 10 minutes. Let me back up. I was reading some book here a while back, and it was talking about when there's marital problems. And this guy, whoever it was, I don't remember who he was, he said a man came to him, and his wife wasn't doing what he thought she ought to do, and he didn't think he loved her anymore. He said, okay, here's what I want you to do for 6 months. He said, I want you to do everything and say everything and act just like you love her. But I don't love her. He said, that's okay. I want you to act like and talk like and do everything just like you love her. You know what happened before the 6 months was up? He fell in love with his wife again. When we get discouraged, do everything, talk like, walk like, say the things that we would do if we were just so in love with God, we couldn't help it. And you know what will happen? We'll fall in love with God all over again. We got to remain faithful. The very things that strengthen us, fellowship with God, fellowship with His people, attending church, praying, reading your Bible, the very things that help us are the very things that we quit doing. It's foolish. Matthew 10:22 says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Not the one that starts and quits. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. In the book of Revelation and the letters to the seven churches, if you'll read those seven letters, you'll find at the end there's a reward promised to him that overcometh. Not to the ones who start and quit. To him that overcometh. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Listen, being faithful isn't just a day or two. It's not a week or two or a month or two. Being faithfulness is for the rest of your life, every day of your life. Jesus wasn't born of a virgin and then quit. He didn't grow up and begin His ministry and quit. He didn't suffer ridicule and rejection and quit. He went to the cross. He gave His life. He arose from the grave. He ascended into heaven and He hasn't quit yet. He's alive and He's living and He's active and He's involved in your life and He's involved in this world, and one day He's going to come back and He's going to call a halt to it, and He's still not going to quit. He's going to take us to heaven to live with Him for eternity. We must be faithful. Oh, I know. You don't like to hear that sometimes. I don't like to hear that. But that's the answer. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." People, Christians, are not blessed because they quit. Christians get discouraged and stay discouraged because they quit. Churches close their doors because Christians quit. Noah steadfastly fed the animals. Do you know what would have happened if he had quit feeding the animals? They would have all died. Can you imagine the mess then? I think we can, because we've made that mess in our lives, haven't we? Because we quit. Stay on the ark. Steadfastly feed the animals and send out a dove. Oh, Noah. I don't know how long he was on the ark before he did it, but one day he opened that window and he sent a dove out. He wanted to check and see what he couldn't see. All he could see was the ark and whatever water he could see. He didn't know what God was doing anywhere else. Could I say that again? He didn't know what God was doing anywhere else, and neither do we. God does not owe us an explanation. I think that's a lesson that Christians need to learn. God doesn't owe me an explanation. I didn't create Him. He created me. He's not my servant. I'm His servant. I don't tell Him what to do. He tells me what to do. He doesn't owe me an explanation, and chances are He's not going to give me an explanation, and He's not going to give one to you either. He's just going to say, "Listen, go do it." And we just need to go do it. Noah kept, he sent that dove out, and he kept looking for that dove to come back. And I think there was two reasons. One, he knew if the dove came back, he had to stay on that ark. Two, he knew if the dove didn't come back, God was doing something and there was hope. But he kept looking, listen, he kept looking for the dove to return because he expected God to answer his prayer. When we send out a dove, we pray. And when we get discouraged, we need to pray and expect God to answer our prayers. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Quit worrying. I know it's hard to do, but quit worrying. Tell God what you need and expect Him to do something about it. He will. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Listen to this one. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." God is just looking for people to do something for. He's looking for people who'll stay on the ark and stay faithful so that He can do something for them. You know why God doesn't work in our lives sometimes, folks? Because we jump overboard. Because we don't stay faithful, we quit. God is looking for, His eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth for people whose hearts are perfect toward Him. He's looking for people who are faithful, for people who are obedient to do something for. God always honors faithfulness. God always honors obedience. Always. He always has. He always. It's His nature. And He won't violate His own nature. So listen, send out the dove of prayer. I know God knows what you need, but He likes us to hear us talk to Him. And it'll encourage you. It'll help you if you talk to the Lord. So send out your dove and watch for the dove to come back and expect God to do something in your life. When you're discouraged, oh, please stay on the ark. Please, I don't know how else to say this. Stay with Jesus. Stay faithful. Quit thinking about other people and other things and your situation and everything else, and stay faithful. God always honors faithfulness. And boy, then double up on your prayer life. Send out doves and say, "God, I need help. Would you send Him back with an olive branch?" He will. Would you stand with me this morning?